To the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 6. Do let me remind you of the leadership planning session on Saturday at 9 a.m. If you are in leadership role, you are head of a department, you'll need to be there, you'll want to be there with the calendar so that we can make plans for this brand new year. And of course, Sunday, we're just going to get around here and have church. Amen. Bring your, you know, sometimes you don't know. You don't know whether to bring your hanky or your running shoes, so just bring both. Amen. We might be weeping or we might be running, but just come prepared. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, next Wednesday night, week from tonight, 7 p.m., we'll have our annual business meeting. Find out where we are. Amen. Kind of like that old farmer was working out in the field, and this guy in a hot air balloon lowered himself down, and he's a little bit lost. And so he asked the old farmer, he said, "Sir," he said, "do you know where I am? Can you tell me where I am?" The old farmer said, "You can't fool me. I know you're up there in that balloon." So he knew exactly where he was. Amen. So financially, we'll be finding out where we are and making plans for a new year. All right. All right. So let's turn tonight to this 15th chapter, the book of Genesis. Are you enjoying your Bible reading this year? Amen. Well, this is kind of where I parked my thoughts this week, was from reading these verses. Chapter 15, verse 1, "And these things, the word of the Lord," or after these things, "the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, It shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like for you to know tonight that the Lord is your protector and your provider. The Lord is your protector and he is your provider. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. There's something interesting in these verses. There is what theologians call the law of first occurrence. And that is that many times when a word is first used in the Bible, or a phrase is used in the Bible, it sets a tone for what's to come, and it will often follow that same pattern all the way through the Scripture. And very interestingly, in these verses that we read here tonight, that occurs four times in only these six verses. We find four phrases here that are oft repeated in Scripture, and they're mentioned here for the very first time. The first one is, if you can help me with it, if you can figure it out, amen. Number one is, the word of the Lord came. Amen. That's the first one. And that's said first there, but you'll read it twice here and then many times after that. The word of the Lord came. And then secondly, there's another oft-repeated phrase all through the Scripture. Matter of fact, it's repeated almost more than any other command. Fear not. Fear not. God is not the author of fear. Amen. And then there's another phrase that's used in numerous places. The Lord said, I am your shield. I am your shield. And then finally, and he believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. He must have been Texan, I suppose, because he uses the word reckon. You don't hear that just everywhere. I reckon. I reckon. There's a lot of places you wouldn't hear that phrase. So Moses must have had a little southern blood there or something. I reckon. Amen. Y'all looking awful serious tonight. You're scaring me. Amen. All right. But the Lord said to Abraham, he said, fear not. Fear not. Now Abraham, in the flesh, had some reason to be afraid. Can you imagine, this is, you know, before there was any police departments, and there wasn't a fire department, and there wasn't a waterworks, and there wasn't an HEB or a Brookshire's or even a Walmart, and there was not a public transportation system, and there was no Southwest Airlines, or even Greyhound bus. Can you imagine God speaking to somebody and say, I want you to leave where you are, everything you're familiar with, and I want you to go to a place that I'll show you. And he had to walk the whole way. My. I mean, in strange country. Hey, they didn't have Rand McNally maps. Didn't even have GPS. Didn't even have a cell phone. How in the world did he make it? He just followed what God said across a wilderness area, uncharted, and just struck out by faith. You talk about faith, friend, that is faith. He took his wife, he took his household, he took all of his goods, he had some livestock, he just took it all and started across the burning desert sands to go to a place that God said, when you get there, you'll know it. Amen. I'm sure he was the author of that phrase over there yet. Since he didn't know where he was going, he really wouldn't know when he got there unless the Lord told him. So they came to this place, and God began to really pour out blessing on Abraham. I know that because the Bible said that he had 318 trained servants in his household. That's just the men, folks. And that's a lot of mouths to feed. And if they had wives and kids, and I'm sure they did, that's a lot of people to be responsible for. And you've got to feed them every day. You know, it's like kids. You can't just say, hey, you ate yesterday. What are you whining for today? They want to eat again in a few hours or minutes. And so Abraham, he's got huge responsibility here. And I'm talking about a man of faith. Take a lot of faith to strike out and carry that kind of responsibility. But he did. And the Bible said he blesses herds and his sheep had twins and his flocks grew tremendously. And God was blessing Abraham right and left. Got so blessed that his nephew Lot, his herdsman couldn't get along with Abraham's herdsman because of prosperity. I know people that get along in persecution and trouble better than they do in prosperity. I know folks that can live for God when they're persecuted that couldn't live for God when they're prosperous. I know people that were right here when they were having trouble, and then when things got good, they just couldn't handle the prosperity. Be careful. Prosperity is probably one of the most treacherous things that you'll have to deal with. Amen. I think the prayer of Solomon was the wisest prayer. He said, God, he said, just give me enough so that I'm not tempted to steal from anybody, but don't give me so much that I'm tempted to forget about you. Somewhere in the middle of all that is a good place to be. God can trust some people with more than he can others. And I've heard people say, well, you know, when I win the lottery, I'm really going to bless the church. What are you doing playing the lottery? Huh? Huh? Told on yourself, huh? Amen. When I win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, if they still have that, I'm really going to bless the church. Well, what about now? You know what God honors? Consistency. Faithfulness. Not the big payday. Just, you know what? He watched a whole lot of people. I've always thought that was interesting in the Scripture. That when Jesus went to church, you know where he stood? He stood right by the offering pan. Now that's interesting, isn't it? So he must have had some interest in it. I think he still does. So he's standing there and he's watching. The Bible says how people gave. Not just what, but how they gave. People give differently. Some people give grudgingly. Some people give cheerfully. Amen. It's how you give that's important more than how much. So he was watching how they gave, and he saw these guys come in. Some of them would blow trumpets, get everybody's attention. And then Mr. Moneybags would come down, man. He's weighted down. And he'd drop them in. Clunk! Clunk! Everybody would say, woo, man, look at what he gave. And then he watched this little lady, and she just kind of flitted down there quickly as she could and threw in two little coins, all she had, the smallest denomination, which today would be pennies. And she threw them in there, and she walked out just as quick as she could. Didn't want it to be noticed. But you know what? Jesus noticed. And he said to his disciples, he said, you see that little lady right there? He said, she gave more than all. Well, how can that be? He said, because out of her need, they gave out of their abundance, but she gave everything. Isn't it amazing? So God was interested in that. He really was. He got his attention. And he got a great lesson out of it, taught his disciples a great lesson out of that. But you see, when Abraham began to be blessed and Lot began to be blessed because he was associated with Abraham, then they had to separate because there wasn't enough room for both of them. Isn't that amazing? So Lot chooses, of course, the well-watered plains of Jordan, and Abraham goes the other way, and God continues to bless him. And then if you read the previous chapter, chapter 14, there were these kings. There were four kings that went to war against five kings. And the four kings whooped up on the five kings. And they overtook the city of Sodom. And Abraham's nephew Lot lived in that city. And they took Lot and all of his stuff. And when Uncle Abraham got the message, now get this, friend, with 318 trained servants, he went after four kings and their armies. Now that's biting off a pretty big chunk right there. That's a lot of faith. But he went after them. And you know what? He won. Hallelujah. He whipped all those armies, amen, with 319 men. And he got his nephew back and his family and all their stuff. And he headed home. Amen. And on the way, the Bible says that he bumped into the priest of the Most High God by the name of Melchizedek. And he blessed him. Amen. And God blessed him. And he got so happy that he tithed on everything that he had. He gave 10% of, and that must have been quite a bit, he gave 10% of everything he had to the king of Salem, Melchizedek. For those that say tithing began under the law of Moses, you missed it. It didn't. It started with Abraham simply out of a heart of gratitude. It wasn't a commandment. It was a privilege. It flowed out of gratitude and thanksgiving, not out of obligation. So he just blessed because he was blessed. Hallelujah. I hope everybody around here gets so blessed you just want to give. Praise God. It was just flowing, and he said, I'm so blessed, I got to bless somebody. God's been so good to me, I got to be good to somebody. God's done so much for Abraham. I want to bless somebody else. And so he did. On the heels, and this is very interesting, on the heels of the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, on the heels of that came this heathen king. Isn't that interesting how the devil always shows up? Right behind the man of God, here comes the devil in the form of King of Salem. I'm so sorry, King of Sodom. He comes, and we know that was such a wicked city. And so he comes, and he's like a lot of politicians. I mean, his tongue is smooth as glass. And he comes, and he's just praising Abraham and carrying on. And he said, if I just have these people back, he said, you can keep all the stuff. Keep all the stuff. And Abraham said, uh-uh. He said, I don't want so much as a shoestring. Because I don't want anybody saying that the king of Sodom made Abraham rich. Amen. If he said anything, I'm going to get, God's going to give it to me. Hallelujah. I don't want anything from this old world. Don't want anything from Sodom. Don't want anything from there. God has given me everything I have, and He'll see that I have whatever I need. Amen. So, my, what a journey that was. And finally, he gets home. And you know how it is. I don't know if this ever happens. It happens to me usually on Monday morning after I preach on Sunday. And I think, why in the world did I say that? So he gets home, and it hits him. What have you done, Abraham? You took 318 men and you went out and whipped up on a king, four kings that had armies, thousands of men. What if they come after you, son? You just stirred the hornet's nest. You know how fear is. It just starts stirring things up. And his imagination was going wild. What am I going to do if they come after me? I've only got 318 trained servants. That's it. I don't know. They could crush me if they come after me now. And he looks around in his tent, and it's kind of nice, but he gets to thinking, what was I thinking when I turned down all that stuff? Just think what I could do with that gold and that silver and all that stuff. It could have been mine. What was I thinking? Fear. 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 You see, you'll say things and you'll do things under the anointing of the Holy Ghost that you won't do when you're not under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And whenever it all settles down, Brother Neil, you've had this happen. When it all settles down, you think, what in the world did I say? And why in the world did I say that? Because you were under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's why preachers say stuff under the anointing they don't even really believe. Sometimes. Peter did. Peter, at Pentecost, he preached something he didn't even believe. He quoted prophets. He didn't believe what Joel said. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. In his mind, he was thinking Jewish flesh. Jewish flesh. That's what he was thinking. But he didn't say that because under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he was preaching truth. Hallelujah. Amen. It was 12 years before a Gentile came into the church. On purpose. On purpose. There may have been some that kicked the door down and came in we don't know about. But on purpose, it took God, it took a heavenly vision and the voice of God and a special invitation and a special commission to get Peter to go to a Gentile's house. But he finally did. Him, and after he preached on Pentecost, that it was for everybody. And it was for all flesh. So you see, Abraham was having one of those uh-oh moments. what did I say? What have I done? Anybody ever had something like that? You know, you were bold. Man, you were bold. You stepped out in faith. Oh, and you were proclaiming things. You were saying things. Oh, you were happy. You were bold. You were excited. You were full of faith. And then you come back and you got the flesh. And you go, oh my goodness. What have I done? That's what's happened to Abraham here. And so the Bible said, and here's the best cure for that. It said in the Word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Word of the Lord God came to Abraham in a vision. And God started talking to him. And when the Lord began to speak, first thing he said was, fear not. Hallelujah. The Bible said, fear hath torment. But perfect love cast out fear. When you understand how much God loves you. I said, when you understand how much God loves you, it'll take care of your fears. Hallelujah. When you get lost and caught up in the love of Jesus Christ, it'll take care of your fears. Hallelujah. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. You think God's going to let something happen to you? Amen. He's going to take care of you. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Lord, first of all, he said, fear not. Trust in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. And then he goes on to say this. He said, for I am, God is, the Almighty is. Amen. Hallelujah. The one that has all power, the omnipotent. He said, I am your shield. I am your protector. I'm going to take care of you. Hallelujah. Hey, if that one, the Almighty One, if He's my protector. There was a fellow, wasn't it? I think that was a general conference. There was a little, Brother Gaddy's kind of, you know, small fellow. And a brainy fellow. And he knew he was in trouble in junior high school. Because he saw these big guys. And he was going to get picked on. So he found the biggest fella he could find. And he said, would you be my friend? And the guy was looking for a friend. He said, yeah, I'll be your friend. So here they come, Mutt and Jeff. Amen. But you know what? Brother Gaddy was smart. Because he knew they weren't going to pick on him because of his friend. Amen. He had a shield. You got a shield. His name is Jesus. And he's big. And he's tough. And he's the Almighty. Hallelujah. So that's what the Lord was telling Abraham. Don't you be afraid of those kings. And don't you be afraid of their armies. Because I am your shield. And they're not going to lay a finger on you unless I allow them to. And you know what? He didn't. God didn't allow it. They never came near Abraham's tent. They left him alone. Amen. Praise God. God is for us. Have you ever been protected by the Lord? Isn't it wonderful? Amen. I was 19 years old. Houston, Texas. I was in a park with some friends. I saw these guys coming toward me. And a little warning went up in my head. I thought, I'm in trouble. They got to me and they pulled out a pistol and they pointed the pistol at me and they said, give me your money. And I said, take it. And somebody reached in my pocket and they got all my money, all $2 of it.
Oh, I was a Bible college student. What would I do with money? So they got all $2. Amen. And they left me with my life. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? Lord was protecting me. You know how I know that? Because about nearly 500 miles away in Midland, Texas, there was a little gray-haired lady that was my mother. And the Holy Ghost just simply at that very moment dropped in her spirit and said, pray for Johnny. She didn't know what she was praying for. But God protected my life. And in a moment that I could have lost my life, just 19 years of age, I could have entered eternity. But God had other plans. That's a good God, friend. And then my brother was in Vietnam. He was driving a Jeep with an officer. And they were driving across an area and they hit a landmine. And it blew the Jeep up in the air and it turned over and it threw both of them out on the ground. And they were out in exposed territory. And there were snipers up in the trees all around them. And those snipers, those trained snipers, were shooting down at my brother and that officer. And they could not hit them. Because thousands of miles away in Midland, Texas, there was a little gray-haired mama. And the Lord just gave my brother's name to her and said, pray for Ronnie. And she got down on her knees and she began to travail. I don't know what you think happened. Those snipers don't miss when there's a clear target like that. But I'm telling you, God reached over and just put a hand over him and over his fellow officer and he protected them because he said, I am your shield. I am your shield. Hallelujah. God is our protector. Friend, I could go on and on and on just telling you how good God is. I was on my way to preach the first revival I ever preached in Big Lake, Texas. 65 Mustang. Man, it would go. And man, I went. I just greased the wheel bearings in the front, and I was trying them out. I started going around the long curve, and it went real squirrely. It started wobbling real bad, and it just I thought, ooh, I hope I can get this thing slowed down, and I got it slowed down, and I pulled over to the side, and when I did, the front tire just flopped over on the side, completely burnt up. Amen. If it happened a few minutes later, I would have been going a lot faster. I'm just telling you, God is your shield. He'll protect you. He'll protect you. Amen. I could tell you many times in Colombia how God protected us in very dangerous situations. Situations where it would have been so easy to lose life, but God protected us. Amen. I can't even tell you how God delivered us out of some situations because it doesn't seem possible. But he did. Hey, it's a wonderful thing to have God as your shield. I want you to know something. If you're a child of God tonight, God said, I am your shield. I'm your protector. And then he also said, Abraham, you don't worry about that stuff you didn't take. You did the right thing. You're in the spirit when you told the king of Sodom no. You did the right thing, son, because the Lord said, I am, now get this, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. Not just a great reward, he said, I exceed greatness. Amen. I've got everything that you need. Heard somebody say, he has the cattle on 1,000 hills, he owns the hills, he owns the gold in the hills. He owns the grass on the hill. And he owns the taters under the hill. He's got it all. One fellow I heard, and I don't recommend this, but I don't know if a man got away with it. He went to Six Flags. There's a big line. And he just walked right up to the front. They said, who are you? He said, my daddy owns this place. Well, I'm not so sure about that. But anyway, he got bold. But I am telling you that your daddy owns it all. Amen. I hear people sometimes talking about how much they're worth. Yeah, right. You see how much of it you take with you. When you draw your last breath, you'll know what you're worth. Every bit of it, you're going to leave it behind. Amen. We sometimes get to thinking, oh man, we can look down on somebody else because we're worth more than they are. Oh, you are. We're all made out of the same stuff. Dirt. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Don't get too lifted up. Don't get proud. Don't get haughty. Amen. All of us, we're just the same old stuff. Amen. We got flesh that we have to contend with every day. You can educate it, and that's a good thing. As long as you don't get too proud. Amen. When God said get an education, then get over it. Amen. Don't get too lofty. Get too proud. Amen. Know where you came from. Know who you are. Know it's God that got you there. Amen. Hey, I believe somebody said this and it's so good. They said what you are is God's gift to you, and what you make of yourself is your gift to God. I think you need to take the gifts God gave you and do everything you can with them and excel as much as you possibly can. But in the process, don't get lifted up and proud and lofty and haughty thinking that it's really something and you're something. Just remember, all of the glory goes to God. I remember reading a story from Corrie Ten Boom. If you ever read about Corrie Ten Boom, who her sisters and her family were killed in World War II in the concentration camps. She somehow survived. And my, what a story she had to tell. And the most beautiful thing, how that God preserved her spirit and she didn't get bitter and hateful. She was able to maintain a love and a peace through all of the atrocities that she saw. And after all that was over, she wrote books. I remember the first book I saw that she wrote, it was called Tramp for the Lord. I think, what will they come up with next? But after I read it, then I understood. I didn't understand it at first. That's why you don't judge a book by looking at the cover. After I read it, I understood. She was a tremendous Christian lady. And I like what she said in one place. She spoke in churches and conferences all over the world. And she was loved and respected. And people were always saying good things about her and complimenting her. And you know, if you're not careful, that stuff can go to your head. Somebody said praise is like cologne. It's okay to dab a little on the outside, but don't try to drink it. So she was all over and she could have made her proud and lofty. But you know what she said? She said, I would take all of the things people said about me and all the compliments. And she said, at the end of the day, I would gather it all up. And I would offer it as a bouquet and say, here, Jesus, this belongs to you. That helped me a lot through the years. I didn't know how to handle compliments. Because I know who I am. I know what I am. I didn't know how to handle when people said good things. And it's not really polite to say, well, you know, oh, I really didn't do anything, when you know you did. You're lying. Somebody says you do a good job, you know you do a good job, right? You're lying if you say you didn't. Hello? I'm just telling the truth here. Is that all right? Amen. That's not pride. That's just knowing what's right. Amen. Now, some people, sometimes they told me I did a good job. I know I didn't. But what I learned from Corrie Ten Boom, you just collect all that good stuff that people say. Say, thank you. I appreciate that. And then at the end of it all, you just say, Jesus, this all belongs to you. It's yours. It's yours. Amen. You see, God is He's our provider. our exceeding great reward. Amen. God knows how to take care of us. Sometimes we get in His way. But if you'll, you know, we cause the majority of our own problems. Let me illustrate. There was a man one time in a service. Now, this is, I think, really illustrates well. It taught me something. He was in a service, and they were taking an offering for missionaries. And he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll give my income tax, the money I'm going to pay my income tax with, and what I owe Uncle Sam, I'm going to give all of that, then God's going to bless me. Well, that's what he did. Instead of giving it to Uncle Sam that he owed it to, he gave it to the missionary. And God didn't bless him. He got in trouble. Financial debt and problems. And he cried out. He said, God, I gave all that money. Why aren't I being blessed? God said, it wasn't yours to give. Said, you didn't give your money. You gave Uncle Sam's money. You gave J.C. Penney's money. You gave Sears' money. You gave GMAC's money. See, when you give somebody else's money, God can't bless you because it wasn't yours to give. You give what's yours, even if it's not as much. At least it's yours. You see how we can create problems for ourselves? Or you pray, we have a missionary meeting and we pray and we're gonna have missionary pledges and you say, well, Lord, if you'll bless me, I promise I'll do this, and then he blesses you and all of a sudden you find out that you wanted a new something and you bought it. And what happened to your promise to God? And you get yourself in trouble. Because you promised the Lord if he'd bless you, you'd do a certain thing. And he blessed you, and you didn't do what you said you were going to do. God is your reward. God will supply. But we need to have the wisdom to understand what belongs to God and what belongs to us. I've seen God just miraculously bless. Amen. Little and small. I'll always remember when I was a Bible college student at TBC. I went to church one morning. In Houston, and after church, I went over to get my Bible, and I looked inside, and it had $2 in it. Woo! When you're a Bible college student, that was something else, man. You know what I said? I said, McDonald's, here I come. No cafeteria for me today. Somebody put $2 in my Bible. On the way home, I had a flat tire. You know how much it costs to get it fixed? $2. But guess what? I had $2. God's good. He takes care of us. My wife applied to go to Columbia, South America on a youth corps meeting. She was a Bible college student. She was making, what was it, $6 and something a week? $6 or $7 a week. That's how much money she made. Was it? She didn't have any money. I mean, she had to, well, thank God she had a good boyfriend. Amen. And she wanted to go to, she applied. She got accepted to go. She didn't have any money. She's just praying, God, you know, I feel like you told me to apply and told me to go, and I, you know, I don't have any money. One day, I looked out the window in the cafeteria, and she was running around like a crazy woman with her hands up, screaming and shouting, talking in tongues. I thought, what in the world is this? She went down and got the mail, opened it up, and there was a check, an anonymous check from somebody to this day, she doesn't know where it come from, that paid for her trip. to go to Colombia, South America. She still doesn't know where the money came from. You think God can supply? If you'll take care of His business and take care of your business in the right way, God can and God will bless you. The Lord called us into missions. We needed to go to Venezuela. We felt like that's where we should go and check things out. We didn't have any money. Amen. We didn't have any money. Somebody told us when we went to Raymondville, they said, there's not any money down there. They were right. But that's not what we went for. But you know what? We ate well. Some of the best food I ever ate in my life. Woo! Sister Sanchez, my, that Carnegie salad. She'd fix a big pot of that stuff. It was dangerous. I mean, I would eat it breakfast, lunch, and dinner until it was gone. Oh, it was good stuff. It was wonderful. And God blessed us. That time, Sister Gidry was living with us. She was in Bible college, and she was living with us and before Cherie was born. And sometimes times get a little tight. We'd tell her, we'd say, Navanda, so now this week it's going to be a little tight. We don't have much, didn't get much money, so you know it's going to be a little tight this week. And it never failed that week somebody would bring groceries by our house. And when we were doing well, they didn't do that. So it got to where we'd tell Vonda that we're going to have to tighten our belt a little bit. She'd start shouting and said, "Woo! We're going to eat good this week." God will provide for you. So anyway, we were going to South America. Amen. And we needed several $1,000s to get there. The three of us, plane fare and everything. And we thought, man, how are we going to do this? But Lord, if you want us to go, you'll make a way. Telephone rang. Policeman said, "Do you have a storage unit at such and such place?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "Well, somebody broke into it. We need you to come over and see what's missing." So I went over there. I didn't want anybody to break in there. What I had in there wasn't much. But I got over there, and they had stolen, among several things that I recognized. One of them was an accordion. I gave my wife some money for her Christmas one year. And she went to Indiana, and she bought this old accordion because she thought somebody in the church might want to play it. Instead of buying a dress or something for herself, all she thought about was, "Oh, this is a good deal. Maybe somebody in church will play this." I didn't tell her then, but I was a little upset because I gave it to her. And she squandered it on who? Anyway, so that accordion was one of the things. I had this guitar and never learned how to play, but I'd had it since I was 14. And my mom and dad gave it to me, and it was very sentimental. So they stole that. They stole a few things. Anyway, so we because of our insurance, they would give us not all the money, but a percentage of it, because that was a storage building. What on our premise? If it was on our premise, we got all of it. But because it was off premise, we couldn't get all the money. So we went down to the music store, and I headed for the guitar section, and I found a comparable guitar. I don't think you can buy the one that my parents had given me, but I found a comparable guitar. I was so excited. I went and I told my wife, I said, "Do you know how much that old guitar is?" It was worth almost $800. Wow. That's a lot of money. And she grinned. And she said, "Do you know how much that old accordion was worth?" I said, "No." She said, $5,000. And I love that old accordion to this day. So God used a thief and State Farm insurance to get us to Venezuela. I'm just saying, God provides. If you'll trust Him and believe Him, take care of His business first. Take care of His business first. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All of these things shall be added. You can say stuff there if you want to. all this stuff shall be added unto you. Amen. You take care of God's business, He takes care of your business. That's what He told Abraham. You don't worry about the king of Sodom and his stuff. I'm your exceeding great reward. Amen. Yeah, you said no. You did the right thing. You were in the Holy Ghost when you did that. So God blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Then Abraham, sometimes you get so far down, it's hard to get up. So he's still not. And then he talked about what was really on his heart. God, 10 years ago, you promised me that I was going to have a son. I'm childless. We don't have any kids. I've got this servant that I really like. He's a good man, but I guess he's going to be my heir. I guess everything you bless me with, I'm going to leave it to somebody that's not even my own child. He was being honest with God, even though his and the money grew up. Let me tell you, God can handle it. Now, let me say this. God never attends a pity party. So if you want to throw a pity party, don't expect God to show up. He won't come. Now the devil never misses one. He loves pity parties. So you throw a pity party, I promise you, the devil's going to attend. And the more you pat yourself on the back feeling sorry for yourself, he will take your arm and nearly rip it off, patting it, telling you how bad you have it. Oh, he loves pity parties, but Jesus never attends one. He doesn't reward bad behavior. He doesn't. Get out of the pity party. Be honest with God. Tell God when things are bad, but don't have a pity party over it. Abraham was just stating the truth. And the Lord said, I love it, and here it is again, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Abraham. And he said, come here, Abraham, let me show you something. He took him outside. He said, here, you got this? He said, look up. And there's real good advice right there. Look up. He said, you see all those stars up there? He said, your seed, your descendants, they're going to be like the stars of the heavens for number. Can you count all those? Neither can you count your descendants. That's how much I'm going to bless you. Now, and what I like about it, God, before this, the Lord told him, he said, look down at the sand. He said, see, can you count all these grains of sand? He said, that's how plentiful your seed's going to be. Now you see, he's got him, he had him looking down, now he's got him looking up. So looking down or looking up, he's going to be encouraged. If he's looking down, he said, look at all that sand. One of these days I'm going to have kids just like that. And he looks up and he sees the stars and he gets encouraged. Whether he's looking down or looking up, God has got him coming. He's got him coming and going here. Isn't he a good God? And the storm would come and it would hide the stars. But Abraham knew that just beyond the clouds, the stars remain. The storm will pass, but the stars remain. And he was standing on the sand all the time. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, God is your exceeding great reward. He'll provide for you. Oh, I could go on and on and on, telling you about the goodness of God and how He provides and how He takes care of us and how He takes care of things. But for the sake of time, let me begin to close with this. The Bible says, and Abraham believed God. Oh, if you'll just believe it, God gets excited when He finds faith. Every time God finds faith, He gets into high gear and He'll start doing things that He would not have done if He could not find faith. But if He can just get somebody to believe Him. I read a story years ago about this guy. He was an aerialist. So he tied a cable, New York City. He tied a cable to one tall building. He stretched that cable across a busy street and attached it to another building, high above the city and all the traffic in the streets. And then he stood down below in the street with his wheelbarrow. And people coming by, he'd say, "Do you believe I can put a man in this wheelbarrow and I can push him from that side across to this side safely?" And they'd look at him and say, "You are absolutely out of your mind. You're crazy. I would never try anything like that." And he just kept asking people till finally he asked this one guy, and the guy said, "I believe you can do it." He said, "Get in." That's exactly what God is doing tonight. He said, "Do you believe?" And when somebody says, "I believe," he says, "Get in. We are going for a ride. And it will be the ride of your life." Amen. God is good to us. He knows how to take care of us. So it said Abraham believed God. Amen. The power of faith produced righteousness in his life. Now let me say to you tonight that God will forgive things that you would never forgive. I know of some things that God has forgiven that if you knew about it, you would even think that it wasn't right. You would think it was unjust. You would think, why in the world would God forgive somebody something like that? I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Amen. That's why you're not God. But when it's you standing in the need of prayer, and when it's you that's needing forgiveness, it's a different story, isn't it? Yeah. When I need it, something different. God is gracious. What does the Scripture say? He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." And what he said? And the sooner we learn that, the better off we'll be. God is not a man. He doesn't think like us. Because God's perspective and viewpoint is heaven and eternity. We are creatures of time. And everything we see down here, it's all subject to what we call life. Between birth and death, that little dash on the tombstone, that's all we know. And so we can't make an adequate judgment. But God sees things we don't see. And He knows things we don't know. And so His judgment is far greater than our judgment. So God forgives things that you and I would not forgive. And God restores people that you and I would not restore. And God does things for people that we think are not deserving. Really? Are we really deserving? Or are we just blessed? Amen. Praise God. So God is so good. His grace is greater than all our sin. There are men who were literally so demon-possessed that they committed atrocities that I wouldn't even mention from this pulpit tonight. And God forgave them. Not only did He forgive them, but some of them God actually put into the ministry. I'm telling you, He's greater than we can imagine. So whatever your need tonight, His grace is greater. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time here tonight and your attention.
Amen.
Praise God. God is your provider, and God is your protector. Amen. He is going to take care of you, whatever situation you're in. Hallelujah. Amen. And could I just tell you tonight, God's got His hand on this church.
Yes.
Amen. You hear some things sometimes that may want to upset your little apple cart. Amen. But you just hang on, because God's got His hand on things.
Yes.
Amen. Don't you try to tell God how to run His business. Don't you get worried about things. Amen. God knows exactly what He's doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's got His hand on Athens United Pentecostal Church because He made some promises to this church. And God has never broken a promise. I said God has never broken a promise. Amen. All of His promises are conditional. He says, I will if you will. But if you give up on God, then His promise cannot come true. But if you'll honor God and believe God and be faithful to God, He'll do what He said He'll do. He will not fail. Amen. You can safely trust in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is your protector, and God is your provider. Amen. Hallelujah. I think it would be good to express our thanks to the Lord tonight. And if you have a need, why don't you just seek Him right now? Amen. There's an altar here. We have time. Amen. If you have a need in your life tonight that God to help you with, why don't you come down here and just tell Him about it? Just come down. You can pour your heart out to God. He already knows anyway. He already knows anyway. Just go ahead and tell Him. Open up all the doors. Amen. Let Him get into the closets and dig through the drawers. Amen. Let Him see it all tonight. Amen. Just make everything open to God so that He can do what He needs to do, what He wants to do, and what you need for Him to do. Amen. That's it. Amen. Just into His presence. Come praising. Come thanking. Come giving God glory. You're my protector. You're my provider. Amen. You're my exceeding great reward. And you are my shield. You're my high tower. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they're saved. That's God we're talking. That's your God I'm talking about tonight. Oh, let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Oh, yes.